The Holy Gospel according to St. John, beginning in the 12th chapter. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with Jesus. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. The gospel lesson is sort of dominated by the fact that Mary buys and brings and opens up perfume, a lot of perfume, which sort of leads me to believe that Jesus stinks. He's certainly not dead, certainly doesn't deserve anointing with the perfume. And so let's think about the aroma. Let's think about the perfume wafting through the room as we move forward. We are familiar with the kind of sketchy details of the story. Mary demonstrates lavish worship by anointing Jesus' feet with expensive perfume. But today is probably an opportunity to go into some of the often looked details of the story as a way to create a Lenten reflection tool. In what ways are we being the aroma of Christ? And where do things stink just a little bit? We begin with the setting of the story. Jesus has come to Bethany, and certainly this region was gushing with heightened interest in Christ, who had just raised one of their own from the dead, Lazarus. Faithful Jews and even non-Jews were curiously seeking more of who this rabbi was. He was distinct. People inquired of him. There was something different about him from the other teachers and the other leaders that they had encountered. Jesus was different. Jesus had a reputation, an aroma, if you will, that people clearly knew about. We learn from this example and should ask ourselves the question, do those around us know there is something different about us? Does our life make them more curious as to what or who lurks in our distinctiveness? Do they inquire about that difference? Is it not God's plan that our co-workers and neighbors should be able to easily pick us out of crowds and recognize that we are followers of this Jesus Christ? Do our lifestyles and our words and our unrandom acts of kindness display this plan? It was also 6 days before the Passover, in the last week of Christ's life. This text will again be part of the Holy Week lectionary, essential as it was to one of Jesus' last opportunities to lead and to impact his followers. Jesus was intentional. He was looking to capture every opportunity to demonstrate what his kingdom, the kingdom of God, was really like. Martha was serving a meal, and recently, dead Lazarus dined with Jesus at the table. Funny time for kingdom lessons, but dead trees and drawing water from a well, a storm in a boat, the raising of Lazarus, these were the common fare things that Jesus encountered, which quickly became his teaching devices. Notice that the raising of Lazarus seems unimportant. Jesus performed a miracle and raised a person from the dead. And yet, he sits at the table as a common disciple of Christ, and no one is amazed. And no one feels anything special about Lazarus. But they feel something different about Jesus. Notice that here, as elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus does not bait and switch people with a fragrance to faith tactics. He does, however, intentionally look for every spiritual conversation starter that presents itself. A meal interrupted by a worship event is a chance to communicate his coming passion to the curious that are assembled in the room. We learn from Jesus' example about a lens through which to observe our world. God is working all things for his good and his plan. That's from Romans chapter 8. All things in Greek means all things and includes our non-Christian friends. All things. We don't need to cleverly perfume evangelism tools to share God with people. We only need to be like Christ, looking for everyday opportunities to speak of who God is and how he may be at work in the lives of the curious crowds that we encounter in our daily routine. Evangelism in and of itself is like sonar. We look for kingdom blips to appear on the screen of our friends' lives. This tells us that an omnipresent God is at work there. Some of you I've told that I slept through my doctor's appointment. A kingdom blip. The Holy Spirit was telling me I didn't need to go spend money on a doctor's visit. I would get better without it. And I have. Where we see people's lives overlap with the kingdom values, we can take the conversational risk to help connect the two dots. One, what is happening in their lives, and two, what is happening in the kingdom of God. People who recycle these dots are reflecting God's value in creation. People who grieve catastrophes intuitively know that this world is still broken and in need of fixing. People who complain about Christian hypocrisy are actually sharing common ground with Jesus. How are we being the aroma of Christ by intentionally looking for everyday object lessons in which we can speak of the kingdom to the curious and perhaps the non-curious onlookers? And how costly this act of worship was for Mary. The perfume's weight, its purity, the conversion of Mary's own hair into a servant's foot towel. Judas's objection to this ridiculous expense, its cost being 1 year's wages. One whole year wages. Would you spend $50,000 on a bottle of perfume and dump it out on someone's feet? Even the people watching this extravagant thought that Mary was crazy. How beautiful of an aroma before God must the scent of Mary's sacrifice have been. We know how passionate Jesus was for the cause of the poor and the marginalized, and yet he honors the cost of Mary's sacrifice for him. How is following Jesus costing us something right now? Do we demonstrate regular personal expense on behalf of others? Have we brought in personal care items for Samaritan House? Does anyone protest that we are being too lavish in the name of Christ? Who's the Judas that's going to stand up and say, that's too much money, we should give it to the poor? Perhaps there can be a Lenten lesson gleaned from this story. The only aroma, the only view, the only message that we should be marked by is the fragrance of Jesus Christ. It's a scent. It's a view. It's a feeling that a curious world is bound to pick up on. Are we going to pour expensive perfume on the feet of other people? Are we going to be the Jesus Christ? Perhaps the only view of Jesus Christ that others see. Amen.